Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who are having great success. Today we are joined by Mr. Mark Rickmeyer, the CEO of TableXi, a UX research, design, and software development company based in Chicago, Illinois. Mr. Rickmeyer, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks so much for having me.
And you're most welcome. Our pleasure. Looking forward to hearing from you today. So for starters, as we look at company culture and building a good, solid company culture, how do you use employee offsites to build your company culture?
Well, company culture is something that happens whether you're intentionally developing or not. Companies tend to form and build cultures, and we found that this is something that we really want to be intentional about. So when we were smaller, we would try to take the whole company offline and have a chance to step away from the work as a company and talk about, you know, changes in the industry and what we were doing inside of TableXi. But as we've gotten larger, that gets harder and harder to do. So we've been thinking about creative ways that we could still encourage people to take that strategic step back, you know, away from the keyboard and create those experiences. So one of the things we've been noodling on is, you know, how do you still engage employees with really good techniques that we know work to help them build relationships together and, you know, take a break away together, but do that when the things that got you here no longer work. You can't really create amazing, unique experiences when you're at 50-some-odd people. Now you're staying in a, you know, generic Marriott or Sheraton, and you tend, when you are that large of a group, you tend to kind of spend time with people you already know pretty well. And so the idea, what we would try as we got to this larger stake, was creating something called Nimble Retreats. Brand new concept for us, where we would break up the company into smaller groups of about 8 people. And that could be a mix of, gosh, designers, strategists, software developers, people that don't regularly work together on projects, and have them be able to take a step back just as that group of 8. And you can create really unique experiences with a group of 8 that you can't do when you're a group of 50. And so we've created these concepts called Nimble Retreats, where this group of 8 will go off together. And typically they take, you know, maybe like one of 3 different patterns. There's one where they go on a kind of a group volunteering mission together. Because we're a software development company, there's another pattern where they go and it's more of a hackathon where you're going and building products that you can bring back to the company after 2 days. And then I think my personal favorite is the one where we're doing something called a walk shop, where rather than a workshop where you're sitting and, you know, using sticky notes and whiteboards, you're on your feet the entire time, hence the walk part of it. So a walk shop is where you do a long distance 2-day hike as a group and have a chance to unpack ideas and topics as you stretch your legs.
Man, that sounds awfully fun, and I can see the benefits right away. Now, why does TableXi have a dedicated chef and kitchen in the office? You got to tell me about that. I love that concept.
Yeah, that's an unusual one, right? Most technology companies probably don't talk about their chef. Think about consulting. And it's for those of you who have, you know, done work in consulting, I will say it's a blessing and a curse. On the positive side, you get to learn so much because your clients are in different domains, different technologies. So you learn an order of magnitude more than you were if you were just staying in like in an individual company, because you get exposed to so many different areas. But the downside is that, let's say you're a developer, and a developer 2 desks over is in a different code base and a different tech stack and different technology, a different client. So they are a few desks away and a world apart. You know, why would you talk to that person or ask their input? Because they're doing something totally different than you, it seems. What we found was that under the hood, we're solving similar challenges, not only with technology, but in terms of client service and the way we're thinking about design. And there's a huge benefit from getting those diverse opinions and perspectives to collaborate. And so when we were thinking about this natural, what we call a predisposition towards knowledge silos in a consulting practice, where people kind of stay within their project teams, we thought about how can we change our office? We were building a new office space at the time. And how could design tackle that predisposition towards knowledge silos? So we actually laid out the groundwork for a commercial grade kitchen, the ductwork, the plumbing, the ovens, and built a natural collision space into the office plan so that people would have the chance to step away from the keyboard again and think about, you know, have a chance to talk to each other and how they were working and how they were collaborating and what they were working on. So a sizable part of our floor plan was dedicated to this collision space concept. And it was, honestly, it was hard to approve. You know, the average lease in Chicago is, what, like 5 years, maybe 7 years? And when you leave, people want whiteboards or cubicles or whatever they want. They probably don't want ovens and kitchen ductwork and things. So most buildings turned us down. And our building was one of the few that allowed us to create this space. And it's been a core part of our culture. Where people get that opportunity to, you know, step away from the keyboard and have that time together. And actually, even the work that we're doing now, the client work that we're doing, it's wonderful that as clients come in to step away from their fishbowl and frankly into ours, we get to have a whole day dedicated heads down working with them on their business, on their designs, on their development. And, you know, we don't lose, you know, that middle part of the day where three people go to Jimmy John's and two go to Chipotle. You get to really be taken care of as a team. So having that kind of unique personalized service from the chef is a wonderful thing to offer humans, but just the collaboration opportunities are much, much, much better. And so for us, it totally justified the build out and the cost and the infrastructure of building that to create that intentional culture that brings people together in an analog kind of way.
You certainly got to love the dedicated chef and kitchen in the office. That is an awesome concept. And I like that a lot. Now, how do you believe building a company culture leads to company growth? Touch on some of those highlights there.
I think, well, so like I said, company culture exists whether you're investing in it or not. And I think if you can be intentional about it, you can get some really amazing outcomes where people are strongly supporting each other and collaborating with each other. Every time you add a new person to your organization, the company can change, should change. Every company should have the ability to grow and evolve with each new hire, and they can put their stamp on things. And so those companies that are intentionally thinking about the culture and thinking about how they invest in people can get the best out of those new diverse perspectives. And so we spend a large amount of time not just investing in like the floor plan layout and the kitchen that we need or the retreats that we're offering, but how we think about the onboarding process and how we think about career development and how we can encourage that with a sponsor program. If you can be intentional about the way that you're growing people and supporting people, then as the company grows, you get to hold on to the things that make you special and unique while tapping into those new unique skills that everyone brings as they join a company. And then your company gets to kind of grow with each person. So I think oftentimes you hear about people hiring for culture fit, which I think is a mistake. I don't think that's the right way to think about it, especially in the services business. You want different perspectives. You want different ideas. And so we look to culture additions, you know, who can add something to our culture. And there are parts of our company culture that we love. And so I think that over-indexing and investment into the things that we think really support people, like the sponsor program or a career development program, allow us to hire people that will really challenge and add to our culture. So I think if you're going to be focusing on growth and growing of a business, it's critical that you think about how you support and invest in people so that you can keep what's good about you as you add in all those new perspectives.
Certainly some tremendous ideas and concepts on company culture today. We are joined by Mr. Mark Rickmeyer, the CEO of Table XI, a custom software and innovation company here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, taking this further, you often say busy is the new stupid. Why is that, and how do you protect your employees from being so busy?
Did you see that interview? It was a really good one. Bill Gates was on an interview with Warren Buffett. It's pretty crazy. So the interviewee was interviewing these two wildly successful people, and they asked Bill Gates, like, show us your planner, like your weekly organizer. And it was just riddled, 9 a.m. to 9:15, do this, 9:30 to 9:45, this meeting, just constantly jam-packed. And then they looked at Warren Buffett's, which was amazing. It was completely empty. I think he had like one appointment on Tuesday and one on Friday morning, and that was it. And these, you know, these are both incredibly wealthy and successful people, and Warren Buffett was making the point that the most valuable asset he has is his time, and that he needs to protect that time to think about where he wants the business to go and strategic direction about how he wants to do things. And for a lot of us who have come up through the ranks of creating things and being makers and building things, we associate being busy with being productive, with being good. And so you'll hear that, especially in American culture. You'll ask someone, how are you doing? And 9 times out of 10, you'll hear, oh, I'm so busy, like a badge of honor. Things are really busy right now. It's really hectic, but I'm thriving. And what happens is you get so worked up in this meeting and that meeting and in, you know, sending emails, you don't leave time to be strategic and you don't leave time to think. We over-index and kind of associate value to being busy and sending emails and doing things as opposed to valuing that time to have time to think. So this is a personal challenge I've been really trying to take as a mantra, Warren Buffett's idea of busy is the new stupid, and protecting time to have, to think about where I'm going in the business, to be able to kind of reflect on where I want to change things, and not just constantly in meetings and sending out, you know, emails or invoices. And not only doing that for myself, but allowing my company to do similar things for our employees. It's a tough challenge, especially nowadays. You know, people have Slack going off and email alerts, notifications, social media, Twitter. Like, protecting that time, that mental space, is more important now than honestly it's ever been in my career.
Some real good stuff and great information on that. Now, I understand you often also meet with your competitors, which goes against traditional thinking, I'd say. Why do you do that?
I think it's for me, it's a good business practice. I like to get ideas wherever I can get them. And my competitors are some smart people. And I want to be able to learn wherever I can, however I can. And so when I create these opportunities to think about my business, you know, oftentimes I will, in small ways, I'll actually create a meeting on my calendar that says busy is the new stupid for like 4-hour blocks where everyone knows not to interrupt me. But other ways I've done that is by creating retreats, like I talked about earlier with my employees, where we actually, I fly in together with my direct competitors, and I've invited them to this opportunity to step back with me. And so I'll be meeting with other software design companies, software development companies that I really admire. And I called them in and said, like, I'd like to learn from what you're doing well. I know there are things I can teach you that I'm doing well. And I think this group of people recognize that we value, I think, the inspiration more than we fear the competition. And there's a lot we can learn by benefiting from, you know, hearing each other. These people know exactly what I'm going through. They know exactly the challenges I have. We do very similar kinds of things. And so we call it the operations conference or OpsConf. And we talk about that hard business of software, and we all get together and talk about what's working and what's not working. And it's been going on now, this idea of cooperation, for about 6 years, and it is straight up a community now, more than a conference. People will literally look forward to seeing each other again. And we've had companies acquire other companies. We've had companies help people with strategic hires. A number of them have gone in and done projects together. Once you start realizing the value that these other companies bring and the good ideas they have, you want to find a way to tap into that. And so these companies that used to see each other maybe as competitors are now pitching deals together and doing work they could never have done on their own. And anyone who knows Chicago, it is disgusting, 9 months a year in Chicago. And so now for us to have a global network, we can send developers on an international exchange and they can go work for one of our competitors in Uruguay when it's beautiful in January there and it's freezing here. And then they come back with not just a tan, but all kinds of new ideas and ways of doing things that they would never, you know, been exposed to before. It's an amazing benefit that you can have as a small mid-market business when you tap into that collective thought power of other companies.
Mr. Rick Meyer, some really good information here today. Can't thank you enough for joining us and jazzing up the audience on some of these great ideas and concepts on building a company culture. In conclusion, any closing thoughts, a takeaway, a tip, anything else you'd like to share along the lines of our conversation today?
The one thing I would like, and this is a challenge I'm giving myself, it's a challenge I'd give a lot of other people. It kind of touches on that whole busy is the new stupid thing. Oftentimes, your day-to-day experience is you're at a desk and you're sitting down and your probably mind is going a million miles an hour and your body is sedentary. We sit all day long. And you'd be amazed at the kind of ideas that you would have if you flip those two things and you're on your feet and you're actually walking. Walking is one of the best ways to shake things up and get some new inspiration. So about 3 years ago, we actually started a conference based on this idea where you're walking for multiple days with people from all over, you know, designers, developers, entrepreneurs, CEOs. And the ideas I've had and just the chance to learn from those people when you're on a 5 to 8 hour hike is way better, way, way, way better than when I'm just sitting down on a conference call or behind a desk. And so for people to have the opportunity, when you have one-on-ones with your staff, to occasionally do a walking one-on-one and you're out on your feet, I highly recommend it. And if you can ever give yourself that gift of time to unplug, we call these things walkshops, where we go on these 4 to 5 day hikes with just incredible people. Think of the value you would have if you had 4 days of access to some incredible entrepreneurs and CEOs, and you weren't being interrupted by Slack and Twitter. You had dedicated time with those kinds of dedicated people. It's a remarkable gift you can give yourself. So I would say if there's one thing I would really encourage is get off your, get from behind your desk, get out on your feet, and try to walk more with people you can learn from.
Certainly appreciate those concluding remarks. Certainly whipped cream on the top of it all. We really do appreciate all the details shared here today. If listeners wanted to get more information on Table XI, where could they find further details online?
Well, you can check tablexi.com. You can learn a lot more about us. That concept of going for a hike with people and learning from them, like I said, we call those walkshops. So you can learn about that at walkshop.io. And if you want to hear my rantings and ravings as I think about things like the employee experience or being busy all the time, that I'm regularly writing on LinkedIn.
I like it, and a lot of great resources to fall back on. Again, Mr. Rick Meyer, all the best, and thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Certainly appreciated your time today.
Thanks so much.
And certainly was our pleasure. We've been speaking with Mr. Mark Rick Meyer, the CEO of Table XI, a custom software and innovation company. And for further details, visit tablexi.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.